welcome to the Orient Outlook podcast with myself, Steve Nussbaum, and as always, my good friend, South Stand Chum, bearded legend, Mr. Paul Levy.
Thank you very much indeed. Welcome back. This is episode number 98, and by comparison to previous weeks, I think it's fair to say we've had a pretty quiet-ish week this week. With the latest news and views and one game to review, let's crack on with this week's show. So first up, as always, it's with the Supporters Club.
Yep, so three more trips this season left for the Supporters Club. First of all, Tuesday night, Accrington Stanley away.
Accrington Stanley, who are they?
Exactly. So coaches depart at 1 p.m. on Tuesday for a 7:45 kickoff. Costs for that £30 and £27 for concessions. Then our second trip away to Luton on Friday the 14th of April, Good Friday. Coaches depart at midday and the cost is £20 and £17 for concessions. And then the last game of the season. Will it be our last game in the Football League? We hope not, but it well could be. Blackpool, Saturday 6th of May, coaches depart at 10:30 for a 5:30 kickoff, and again that's £30 and £27 for concessions. There's a £3 surcharge to non-members for booking, and you can book at the Supporters Club before any match or on the travel line on 07722 135 970.
Now we move on to the Leighton Orient Trust. As always, they're very kind enough to provide us with an update as to what's been going on around the Trust. So thanks for this, Howard. He says, a huge thanks goes to Charlie Granger and Freddie Moncur, who popped into Forest YMCA in Walthamstow on Thursday to support Waltham Forest Get Active for Mental Wellbeing event. This was a free day-long event of physical activities helping to promote physical health and emotional wellbeing. Alongside organisers NELFT, which are part of the NHS, sports provider Motivate East delivered a multitude of sports, including football, boxercise, boccia and badminton. The lads enjoyed chatting to the attendees as well as teaming up with some of the participants to play some badminton. So well done, chaps.
Yep.
Great news.
Yep, so just for the update there, Howard. So also an announcement to make. So last week, if you listened to episode 97, we said that we were sorting out some activity for the Leighton Orient Regeneration Fund, and we're happy to announce we've now got
our first contribution.
Yeah, our first contribution.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do is we are going to do an auction on players, ex-Orient legends, I will say. Let's go with ex-Orient legends. Their shirts and Orient memorabilia. So we're very happy. And you might have seen this on this player's Facebook or Instagram pages. We've got a signed Kevin Lisby match-worn Somme shirt. So it's number 9, Lisby, signed by Super Kev himself.
We got from his personal collection, I believe.
From his personal collection. Yeah. We got the shirt yesterday. We've already had three bids without even putting anything out there. So if you'd like to bid, bidding will start at £100 because we've already had three bids, and current bidding, the last bid was £100. So if you'd like to bid, give us an email or give us a DM on Twitter and bid for Super Kev's shirt. So every penny of that will go towards the Leighton Orient Regeneration Fund, and bidding closes at Thursday, 8 p.m. UK time. So obviously we get a lot of foreign listeners who might be interested, so if you are, feel free to bid, and bidding will end on Thursday at 8 p.m. and we hope to announce more, some amazing shirts and some amazing memorabilia coming up in the next few weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you live abroad, we'll have to work out some way of getting the shirt to you. If you're in the UK, then we'll probably be able to give it to you at a home game or arrange postage somehow. So very excited by that. We hope to have more in the coming days. We're just waiting on Postman Pat to arrive at my house with a few more bits of goodies.
Yeah.
But we won't name names now, but we have been in touch and quite overwhelmed with the response that we have had. So
yeah, I mean, there's one if it comes off, which is mega if it happens, but we won't announce it until we're actually holding it in our hands.
Yeah, exactly. So, Monday the 6th of March, the week that was, Gavin Massey won the Shoot League 2 Goal of the Month Award for February for his goal versus Plymouth, which was a bit of a corker.
That's one superb goal, so well done to Gav. And then, following the win over Newport, it was all about Josh Caroma. So, Josh Caroma wins the Skybet League 2 Goal of the Weekend, his first goal versus Newport. And so, the tweet from Skybet League 2 was, defence splitting pass and a nutmeg finish. So well done to Josh there, who was also named in the official EFL Team of the Week. So a superb effort there, and well done to Gavin and Josh.
Absolutely. Just before 5 o'clock, Shona at The Guardian broke news that there were bids from unnamed American listed company. The article, or part of the article, reads as follows. It said, Leighton Orient have received two bids for the club from an unnamed American company, with the second coming as recently as last night. So that had been last Sunday night. The East London Guardian series understands the company has met the valuation set by owner Francesco Bechetti, but no response has been forthcoming as of yet. It is claimed that Orient CEO Alessandro Angeleri contacted the publicly listed company last week to sound out if they would be interested in submitting an offer. An initial bid was made, but was met with radio silence, was followed by a second on Sunday night. So it seems a little bit peculiar, that.
Well, Alessandro, headhunts a company who he knows are interested in Orient, says, probably, we're looking to sell, this is what we want, make us an offer. Offer comes in, of the price Bechetti apparently wants, and then no one replies to the company.
It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
Do you know what, I'd love to say I'm surprised by that news. Unfortunately,
I'm not, no.
Unfortunately,
I agree.
We're not. So I agree. There's more on this story throughout the podcast, as we'll come on to.
Yep.
Also, late Monday evening, Loft announced that the Leighton Orient Regeneration Fund was sitting at £58,500 on Monday evening. That was just, I think, 4 days into it, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Yeah, crazy. So yep. Massive kudos and well done to everyone who's donated for that. And quite simply unbelievable, really.
Yeah, incredible. And particularly as there are fans from other clubs that have also contributed as well.
Yeah.
So you can do it by the GoFundMe page or go to the Loft homepage, and you can... The thing with the GoFundMe thing is, although it's really convenient, there is charges that the club have the Loft will have to pay to withdraw. So people would be better off donating directly into the Loft bank account.
Didn't know that.
So yeah, there's like 8% fees or something that Loft have to pay. So on sixty grand, you're looking at nearly £500.
Adds up. Yeah, yeah.
So excuse me, they're gonna lose that amount of money plus more. So fantastic effort so far. Tuesday the 7th of March then, Josh Caroma is named in the Football League paper League 2 Team of the Week, so the accolades keep coming for that young man.
Well done, Josh.
Well done, Josh.
And on Tuesday, Shona at Guardian again reveals the O's were contacted for a third time on Monday night regarding the potential takeover, but still yet to respond to the unnamed stock-listed American company. So, you know, third time, still no response, so... No idea what's going on there.
No, it's not even worth racking your brain trying to think, because it's probably something completely unprofound. So Loft released a short statement in the evening. It said, "We have had this question asked of us. I notice on the company's house website under filing information that the HMRC Gazette notice to wind up LOFC on the 20th of March has been removed and has been replaced by the company's statement. Would it therefore not be correct to assume that HMRC have withdrawn the petition for whatever reason? Maybe the tax has been paid."
Yep.
And they go on to say, "We wanted to quickly pick up on this. There has been a change on the situation with this particular issue, which we can comment more tomorrow. Please don't perceive this as us withholding information or that things are worse or indeed better. We just need to get some additional information and then come back to everyone tomorrow afternoon. On the overall picture, there will be no movement in law overnight, so we're taking the night off. As we're all exhausted, but we will be back tomorrow."
So obviously that news got pulses racing. Everyone was speculating. Maybe it's been paid, maybe it hasn't.
People go into overdrive on this sort of stuff. It's just there's no calm. It's just like something happens and it's just like an improvised explosive device, isn't it? Someone treads on a landmine or something, it just blows up and all of a sudden everyone goes crazy.
And I think once a few people got hold of it, and I think it got kind of blown out of proportions, I think the Football League paper picked up on it and said there's a statement coming from Loft, and Loft said no, it's not really a statement, it's just an update. And so by the time the update came out, everyone was on tenterhooks anyway, which leads us nicely to Wednesday the 8th of March. So following a morning of speculation, refresh on Twitter and every social media channel out there, Loft put out the following update saying, "Loft has been carrying out its own investigations but is unable to confirm the status of the debt. The situation is a complex and involving one, and it may be that the true picture will not emerge until the court hearing on the 20th of March. But in the meantime, we've been liaising urgently with creditors other than the HMRC to ascertain as accurately as we can the underlying debt situation at Leighton Orient. While we cannot put a figure on it, it is apparent that there is a significant level of unpaid bills to various creditors apart from what is owed to HMRC." So the statement is longer than that. We've just taken the first two paragraphs as a kind of summary of what it said. So for me, like you said already, maybe I was naive, but I thought it was going to say it's been paid, we're still going to go on with the regeneration fund, but don't worry guys, it's been paid.
That's what I was expecting. yeah, either it has or it hasn't. I was expecting something a bit more substantive, but it is what it is. It's not certainly not a criticism. It's, you know, they've actually uncovered, unfortunately, more cobwebs and more skeletons.
When you think things are bad, it seems they really are. Worse. Yeah, they can get worse with every passing day. So,
yeah, absolutely. So Thursday, the 9th of March. Callum Kennedy spoke to George Sessions about the goings-on at the club, and he said, "Everything is a bit up in the air, and we're really not sure what's going to happen. It sounds so cliché to say it, and I know it is almost annoying to hear, but if you don't know what's going on, then you can't worry about it. You can go around in circles trying to second-guess what different people are thinking, and you drive yourself mad doing that. So I've had the mentality over the last couple of years of focusing on me and everything I can do on a day-to-day basis. That way, whatever happens, if I know I'm improving and doing all I can, then that's all I can control. I can't control anything else. I'd love to, but there's no point thinking about it, and what will be on that side of things. But with the games coming up and the games we have had, for the fans to still be supporting us is an amazing feeling. I give them massive props for that, because it genuinely does help a lot when you are on the pitch and you have the crowd behind you and you can feel people rooting for you. This is another challenge and problems are how you perceive them to be. If you want to shell up and blame everybody else and make excuses, then you won't get anywhere." Yeah. Which, very sensible.
Yeah, so nice there from Callum. Good to hear. Also on Thursday, big congrats to Matt Porter.
Friend of the show.
On the last podcast. I'm sure everyone who listens to this one has probably heard the last one, but if you haven't, it was Matt's last public speaking before the birth of his new son Henry. So congrats to Matt and family on the birth of Henry.
Yeah, congratulations guys. And on Friday the 10th of March, Shona from The Guardian reports that an unnamed American company have now made 5 approaches to the club, but they're still yet to respond. The most recent of those was made on Wednesday night.
So I mean, this American company, whoever they are, I think everyone kind of speculates, and there's probably a favourite within there who people think it's going to be, but you know, they're not being fobbed off lightly. It's 5 approaches now. Big money deal, obviously, that they're talking about.
What the hell is Alessandro doing? What the hell is Vito doing? What on earth is Bichetti doing? What the hell is going on with these people?
No idea, buddy.
What is going on? It's absolutely absurd. I mean,
that was the last...
It's disgraceful.
That was the last update, and that was Friday morning. And the last approach had been Wednesday night, so now we sit here on Sunday night, so things might have moved on. There might be more approaches without response. They might have responded.
I wouldn't bother approaching them anymore if I was that unnamed American company. I really wouldn't. What are you wasting your time for?
I guess it depends what the motivation is for that American company and where they see Leighton Orient in that scheme, I think, really. So we'll keep you posted on that one. I'm sure Shona will, because she seems to be the one in the know on that one.
Yeah.
Also on Friday, the Evening Standard report that the programme for the home game against Grimsby will contain only 16 pages, a reduction of 76% from the usual 68 pages. The programme is designed by Alchemy Creations, and it's understood the money is outstanding to the Baldock Company for their work. I mean, that's just ludicrous, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Alchemy Creations put out their own statement via Twitter, which reads, "We were asked to comment on our position, and we did. We are owed money, but have done a deal with the club to produce a limited edition for the next fixture. We have worked with Orient and LOSCP for several years and have good friends within the club, and will continue to help and support wherever we can. We consider ourselves Orient fans and hope the issues at the club are resolved as soon as possible, so the staff and fans can once again enjoy the success they richly deserve." I think it's really worth pointing out, in case you weren't aware, because I really wasn't, that it's part of EFL ruling and FA ruling that you have to produce a match day programme. Why? I don't know.
I mean,
I'm not sure. It's probably a record of what's gone on. But I mean,
that's quite critical, really, because say if we didn't get the programme printed and you would have got a fine, say if Bichetti would have refused to pay the fine because he doesn't seem like he's paying anything, then you could have been looking at a points deduction. So just by getting that programme out, you know, the longer term repercussions of what it could potentially have saved could be massive. Yep. So massive kudos there to Colin and Charlie.
Yeah, well done.
For getting that sorted. That really is big. Having a relationship with the programme printers, and just by getting a deal struck. So massive kudos to both of them.
Yeah.
And also on Friday, Adam Rickman of Man vs Food fame. You've seen that before, right?
Yeah.
Great programme. Love it.
Basically, this guy's an American competitive or ex-competitive eater. Yeah.
Amazing programme. He goes around America to all like restaurants and delis, like doing the all-you-can-eat challenges, and it's quite a funny programme. Anyway, he donated to the Loft GoFundMe page, and he set up a lovely tweet saying he said he's Tottenham.
He's a Tottenham fan, yeah.
But he loves the great game and donated what he could. So
don't know what that figure is. Don't no idea. But this is so random that we just had to mention it.
Yeah.
It really is, because I didn't even know the guy supported Spurs. Didn't even know he was aware of, well, to him, soccer. Least of all would he have known about a 91st position mate, football league club.
He loves the Orient, mate. He loves the Orient.
Yeah, well, his wiki page, obviously someone's edited it, but he says he loves Spurs and Grimsby Town, so...
I'll have to get him down to Brizzy Road for a Brizzy Burger. See if he can stomach one of those bad boys.
Well, yeah, he probably won't. Probably won't eat a whole one. So, thank you very much, Adam Rickman. You probably don't listen to us, but, and this will bypass that, but... We wanted to say thank you very much, indeed. Saturday, the 11th of March, game day. Early on, though, physio Peter Webb tweeted before the game. He said, my last game at the match room today. Getting some points would be a good way to go out and no injuries. So good luck, Peter. Thanks for everything you've done. You managed to get Dean Cox and Paul McCallum
back.
Kudos. To full fitness. Liam Kelly as well, that you've worked with very, very recently. So
I'm sure there's others as well.
Whatever your reasons for leaving are, thank you for everything you've done for us. It is not... It has not gone unnoticed. You probably don't get enough credit for what you do. So, cheers, buddy. Thanks for everything.
Yep, and that led to Grimsby at home yesterday. Big match. And in goal, Charlie Granger. Back four, Judd, Hunt, Parks and Kennedy. Midfield, Moncur, Collins, Alzate and Semedo. Up front, Karoma and Dolby on the bench. We had Sam Sargent, Mezige, Clark, Oshing, Atangana, Abrahams and Liebert. So that meant the first 11 run change from the Newport match. But Michael Clark, Nigel Atangana, Liebert came back on the bench. McCallum ruled out with a knee injury. And Sammy Moore as well. So your views on that, Mr.
Yeah, Lee? I mean, no real surprises to me, really. It is what it is. For me, I'd like to see Victor Adebayejo. I don't know what's happened to him, whether he's injured or what. It probably is something very simple and straightforward. But yeah, I'd probably like to see him have a little run out.
I think you probably see him on the bench on Tuesday.
Do you reckon?
I would have thought so, but not that I've got any inclination, but I'd expect so. My views, no surprises there. Decent team. For the same, sticking with Saturday.
Yeah.
The team from last Saturday was good. So
yeah.
Match kicked off with the O's kicking off towards the South Stand. Got to say, cracking atmosphere. Both sets of supporters
rocking,
making noise. Grimsby bought a lot. We'll come on to Grimsby fans in a little bit, but there was a lot of Grimsby fans.
There was
South Stand was making a huge amount of noise before the game kicked off. Lovely to see.
Yeah, it really was. And I think the fact that Grimsby were that vocal, but I think that some of the fans in the Orient end were up in their game on it as well. I think we all were. So it was really good. Great atmosphere.
Grimsby had some fans over from Belgium as well, didn't
they?
Yes, they did. Who were making them
a lot of noise.
A lot more vocal.
Yeah.
As well, but fair play to them though.
Yeah, exactly. It all makes for a good atmosphere, good game, good weather as well for a game of football. All in all, quite good until we got to the 6th minute because Grimsby took the lead following some good build up play. Cross came into the box from the right hand side. Sam Jones was really unchallenged. I mean, we've written that he easily beats Callum Kennedy, but it didn't look like from the replay that I've seen that Callum Kennedy even tried to make a play for the ball.
As I just don't think he gets anything on, like, on his leap, and Sam Jones was already beaten and the ball's in the box. But it was a good header.
Yeah, it was.
By Sam Jones.
If you're unchallenged, yeah, absolutely is. So it's a terrible start, really. I actually thought the header was going to go wide, but it just clips the inside of the post.
No chance for Granger, I'd say.
If that was us, that would have gone out. That would have just pinged back out.
Yeah.
But when you're down, you're down. But fair play to the Orient fans who were basically, you know, we saw that and we started to really sort of be positive and just spur the team back on, because there's no point being negative about it. They're not going to respond.
Yeah.
They'll do better when we support them.
And
so
a decent response, I thought, in the next 20 minutes. You know, we looked good movement, good passing.
Yeah.
Without really creating much.
Yeah.
Up front, Dolby is getting a bit of a hard time from fans. I think Dolby does quite well. He's a bit of a different forward to like your Abrahams or your Bernadjabs or your Coronas, where he's a bit more physical, try and drop back and hold the play up. But that means that if he does well when he gets the ball out to the wing, then the wingers look up or the midfield look up and no one's in the box because Dolby's just held it up.
Correct.
And I think he gets a lot of criticism from that, even though he's done really well. So that seemed to be what was happening.
Yeah.
Good teamwork. But then you'd get in the crossing situation where either through Semedo or Azarte or Moncur or Collins would look up. Because Dolby has worked hard to be part of that build-up, he's not in that centre-forward's position. But with McCallum, who doesn't really get involved in the build-up, who's just kind of lingering around doing what he does, he's always around there. So there's a few instances where we got into a good position, but there was no final pass because there was no one in the box.
Yeah.
But we were playing all right. Crowd kept going. In the 27th minute, Kennedy went down for quite a while.
Yes.
To have some treatment, but he was okay to continue.
Yeah, and then from around the 35th minute until about half-time, Brisbane Road was awash with noise as the South Stand was making an absolute racket. And if if anybody's interested in seeing what that looks like, go on to our Twitter feed and look at the videos, because I did a little bit of filming and it was quite shaky, so I apologise, but I just really wanted to try and capture what the vibe was at the time.
I didn't make the Plymouth game. I think when we had two men sent off and we lost two, I was in Scotland. But I will say that 10 minutes was my favourite part of this season at Brisbane Road, without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah.
Even though we were 1-0 down, it was just brilliant.
It was fantastic.
It was just brilliant. I don't think
it's been better since that, to be honest. No. Plymouth there, the players were fighting. McCallum was putting in a shift. It was stupid of Weir to put in that challenge in the first place in that Plymouth game.
Yeah.
But you know, that seemed to spur us on and spurred the team on. The atmosphere was fantastic.
It was so good. We could see the players were working hard. Danny was giving out instructions. The players wanted it, and I guess as fans we respond to that, and we showed the team what we think, and it was brilliant to see, and the Grimsby fans were loud. It was really enjoyable.
3 minutes of injury time are played out, and then the half time whistle goes. No booing, no jeering.
So half time went in 1-0 down. I think you said decent first half, lots of effort and endeavour, but their goalkeeper wasn't really tested. There was a few crosses, but the crosses that we did get in,
just catches, straight into trading ground catches, yeah.
And they had one chance and they took it. And I think they scored so early on, and that kind of led us to dominate the game, really, for the rest of the first half.
Didn't really offer us much. Charlie wasn't really tested.
No, not
either.
At all.
We didn't
not
test
at all.
A lot of the play was around the middle third of the pitch.
Yeah, and I thought Collins had his best half, I think, in an orange shirt.
He did very, very well.
Fantastic. So Meadow had to be in on his fullback all day long. Yeah. Didn't test him enough. I think he got around the back of him twice easily, but didn't really get at him enough.
Yeah.
Just couldn't get the ball to him. Karoma looked very confident. There's a few cheeky little touches from Karoma. You could see he was bang on it.
Yeah.
I also made a note, so I thought the Grimsby fans were very good. I liked the chance of Fish, which made me laugh because I didn't know what they were saying. I had to ask like you and Gray, who I sit with. I also appreciated the Wonderwall rendition.
Yeah.
Being a massive Oasis fan back in the day.
Yeah.
And I also did enjoy
Rocking All Over the World.
As ironic as it was.
Yeah.
And a great catalogue from them was from the
And
Grimsby
the other
fans.
One, was it Three Little Birds?
Yeah, the Bob Marley song, Three Little Birds. Like great catalogue, great back catalogue there from the Grimsby fans. Classic artists. So
maybe that was led by the Belgians, I don't know.
Possibly, yeah.
I don't know.
Also, speaking about music at half time, The Kids Are Alright was played over the town hall by The Who, so very, very good good song choice there, and as was Taxman by the Beatles before the match. So
there's a couple of others as well people commented on, so well done Phil Oton for your choice of music, sir. Very good. So attendance was announced at 5,288 with 1,086 travelling Grimsby fans, but to me it really did feel like there was more than 4,200 Orient fans there.
The noise
we were making.
South Stand was busy.
Packed.
There wasn't many empty seats in the South Stand. West Stand looked busy. North Stand didn't look that busy, but with a busy West Stand, busy South Stand, East Stand was quite busy as well.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that's so low.
I am as well. If Barry Home was still owning this, everyone would say, it's a tax dodge or something.
Yeah.
But anyway, second half kicked off. There were no changes for Leighton Orient.
Yep. 50th minute, we got a free kick in a decent position. Hunt lingering over the ball. He took it just over the bar. Debden Massive not come through on this one, unfortunately.
Yeah, shame.
Yep.
In the 61st minute, Captain Nicky Hunt does brilliantly as he stops Dyson, who looked destined to score. And that was a real last-ditch, desperate.
I can't remember who
block.
Dyson done. He done someone easily.
Excuse me. I think that was...
he kind of got it, shimmied it, and done someone. And Hunt was like, you ain't doing that to me, son. Smash.
Yeah.
Ball smashed away. But had he done Hunt,
that Dyson
would have had one
goal
Granger,
all over it.
Yeah. Would have had Dangle on him. So, 69th minute, Andrew should have made the game over for Grimsby, but he got in... down their left hand side, got in one on one. He should have just composed himself. Instead, he smacked it over. We were lucky to get away with that one.
We were really lucky. Tristan Abrahams replaced Sam Dalby in the 70th minute.
Yeah, I was happy to see Tristan Abrahams come on. I think Dalby again was tired. Well, I mean, all the kids, you know, for all their endeavour, they do get tired. And I think you'll probably end up mentioning it about Danny Webb's lack of subs at some point. If you're not, we'll come on to it later. But, you know, sometimes changes do have to be made.
You know me too well.
And that was a good... And in the 71st minute, a travesty, really. Grimsby made it 2-0 for a Callum Kennedy own goal. Sam Jones got in. Sam Jones done well, actually. He got in, shot at Granger, who made a fantastic save with his legs. He done really well. Stood up big. Didn't give his man an angle. Done well. Ball ricocheted off Granger onto Kennedy's leg. pace on the ball took it over the line and 2-0. And you know, when your luck's out,
your luck's out. Yeah.
Just a massive groan. I think Granger was absolutely gutted, like kicked the post massively in anger, and you're just like, oh, you're just going, it's just that season, isn't it? It's just that season where everything goes against you. Good save by the keeper, rebounds off Kelly.
You can't legislate for stuff like that. It's just a freak situation.
At 2-0 down, game over.
Yeah.
Game over.
Absolutely. In the 80th minute, we noted a nice little turn from Caroma just outside the box, but he shot over the bar.
Yeah, still looking sharp. And in the 87th minute, Grimsby made it 3-0 as the ball was chipped into the path of Vernon, who hit it first time on the volley. Great finish. Granger, no chance. I thought that was a really good goal, actually. The ball that was played into Vernon completely took Hunt out, and he smashed it first time. And 3-0, which I think was a bit unreflective of the score. I think 2-0 was probably a fair result. I thought 3-0 made it look a lot less close to what it was.
Than it was, yeah, I agree. 5 minutes of stoppage time are played in the final minute. Callum Kennedy has an effort on the left-hand side that beat the keeper. Unfortunately, didn't beat the post, and the full-time whistle goes, and we crash to another record-breaking home defeat.
Yeah. So Danny Webb went on to say, after the match, sometimes you have to take a step back to go too forward, and that is not a case of us giving up. It's just thinking for the first time in a long while that people can look at our players and say they are their own. Today might be a bit bleak in terms of where we are, but tomorrow could be very bright. I haven't given up. Even when we got level with Notts County after the win at Plymouth, our goal, I was realistic. I knew we were still probably favourites to go down, because unfortunately with Orient, you take a step forward and then 4 or 5 back in terms of the whole thing. But it is not a case of giving up. Regardless of what supporters think about the club, the vibe towards the team has been extremely supportive. So that's credit to the players for giving those fans something back, because this is going to be a very big week in our history, and we won't know what is going to happen for a while.
Yeah. He sums it up quite well. He does speak really well.
He does.
Dulcet Dave tweeted, Danny explained that physio Peter Webb will be moving on after the Doncaster match and is now helping the youth team physio.
Yeah, and George Sessions said after the match, another blow for the O's today was that Danny Webb confirmed that Paul McCallum is probably out for around 4 weeks due to his knee injury. So for me, I'd rather have no McCallum for 4 weeks
than a heart quarter fit McCallum for that time.
Yeah. As bad as that is, let the guy rest. Let his ligaments reattach to whatever they're supposed to reattach to or whatever happened. Although I think he said it wasn't even that injury, McCallum, on last night on Twitter. But let him get fit. Yeah. And let's get him back for the last 5 or 6 games. Yeah, fully 100% as opposed to a 50 or 60% McCallum.
Yeah, 100% agree with you. Although, just to jump back, it does seem a little bit weird that Peter Webb is now going to be helping the youth team physio. I'm sure there's something in that, but it's just too odd to be first team physio to then be helping out with youth team. And then
see what happens.
Yeah, I'm sure that will all come out at some point in the future. But the league table, so that defeat means that we stay in 23rd place. In League 2, we've played 36 games now. We've only won 9, we've only drawn 5, but we've lost a massive 22 games. Unfortunately, our goal difference took quite a hammering as well. Yep. As we're now back down to minus 18 with 32 points registered on the board. We're 6 points from safety with just 10 games left to play.
I can't believe there's only 10 games left to play.
Can't come soon enough if you ask me. Hartlepool are 22nd on 38 points with a minus 14 goal difference. They lost 2-1 away to Notts County, who sort of further secured their position for next season in League 2.
Yeah.
We'll see how that goes. But my views from yesterday's game are really... I think a lot of people sum this up really as men v boys today. Another game where we huffed and puffed and we didn't really have an end product. As I said earlier, you know, most of the game was played in the middle third.
Yeah, it was.
Charlie wasn't tested that much, nor was their goalkeeper. And as you said earlier, it really doesn't feel like a 3-0 game. A few weren't at the races today. I think for me, Callum Kennedy looked a bit off. I'm going to say Sam Dalby.
Oh, I think that's maybe a bit harsh.
Which might seem harsh, but the fact that he was coming so deep all the time to hold up meant that, as you said earlier, he wasn't in the box, which is where he should have been. So for me, I'm going to take issue with Danny Webb and his tactics and not making the changes to change the game.
I knew you were going to say that.
He should have then had maybe Caroma on the right, give Semedo a rest, have Alzate or interchange him and Alzate, and then bring on a striker to play up front with Sam Dalby.
One thing I will say is he evidently doesn't fancy Lyberd.
That is glaringly obvious because otherwise you wouldn't be starting a 17-year-old over a 24-year-old.
I mean, Lyberd's not even getting on the pitch, like for most games, not even getting on as an appearance of a sub.
No.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. So, you know, we're chasing the game, and the only change that he made was Dalby for Abrahams. And when you look back at the bench, you could see that throw caution to the wind. Yeah. Bring a couple of the other lads on, change it up a bit, maybe bring Nigel on to sit in front of the back four to give them a bit more protection at 2-0 possibly, down.
Yeah.
Stop them from being exposed so much. When the left and right, you know, Kennedy and Judd weren't being given enough protection, you need to be screaming at your wingers that they need to be protected, or Mickey Collins needs to come across and help protect Judd if Caroma's not going to come back and protect him, or Alzate isn't going to come back and protect him. Someone needs to help him. He's 17, 18 years old now, Miles Judd. You can't just leave him. They're targeting him, as you've rightly pointed out.
They're
targeting our right back
again. I didn't notice that much yesterday, but a few people did mention that again. Yeah. So maybe they did,
So, you know, we've got to adapt mid-game, and it does frustrate me that we've got a full bench of players that aren't getting any experience. And when you're 2-0 down, all right, even 3-0 down, just bring them on, let them have a go.
Yeah.
Look what happened when Freddie Moncur came on and Steven Azarte in the last throws of a couple of weeks ago. So for me, Caroma, I think a couple of people have noticed it as well, doesn't really work as well up front by comparison to when he's cutting in from the wing. But for me, unfortunately, I'm going to put this out there now, for me it looks like we are all but relegated.
Mr. Levy,
I'm going to be really pessimistic, glass half full, but I really can't see how we're going to escape.
Yeah.
6 points. You want 2 wins.
Well, you need at
from
minimum,
10 games
at
just to be level with Hartlepool. Just to be level.
Yeah, I mean, it's going
to
be more ultimately 2 games at minimum
with 2-0 wins, so that your goal difference backs up to 14.
I mean, I think you're looking at,
and then you've got to hope Hartlepool lose.
Yeah, I mean, Hartlepool won't lose 10 out of 10, will they?
I don't know.
Well, I hope so. We hope so. I mean, we've still got to play them, which is going to be a key game.
This is probably going to be another season where was it, 2012, 13 or 11, 12? I can't remember, when we were in League One and Wickham went down because they lost in the 94th minute to an Alan Judge goal at Notts County, and we stayed up purely because one team were a bit more rubbish than us. And
I
suspect that might well be
my heart.
I pray that this will be
my
that
heart,
again
my
this
heart
season.
Will not make it to the 94th minute at Blackpool. To the 94th minute at Blackpool. No one's heart would make it. Everyone would just combust in the 93rd minute and there'd be no
limit
on it. So my views, I thought it was quite unfortunate actually. But good, we just had too much over 90 minutes. First half was really good. Apart from their goal, we were comfortable, and I really enjoyed the atmosphere, like I've said. You know, best atmosphere I can remember in a while. Second half, as always, like, we looked tired. Could Danny have made the change earlier? Yeah, I think you've already picked up on it. Did he have Tuesday in mind? Maybe saving players like Lyburn and Atangana and Clark, maybe for Tuesday night. Maybe he wants to rotate the squad. I don't know. We'll have to ask Danny, or we'll see what Danny does on Tuesday. We'll see. But yeah, he doesn't rate Lyburn. Maybe Adebayo on the bench on Tuesday, I would expect to see. Maybe give Dalby a rest, because I say he looked very tired. But once the second goal went in, it was game over. Yeah, young lads, you know, they've all done brilliantly well this season and are making everyone proud. But I do have one criticism of the young lads, and it's happened a few times before, that when the full-time whistle goes, there's 3 or 4 of them who slump on the ground, and it's like we've lost a cup final, or it's like we've already been relegated, and I don't like that. I like the fact we see their passion on the pitch, and I like the fact we know they're trying. But as soon as that full-time whistle goes and it happened again, they just crumble on the floor, and I'd like not to see that. I'd like to see him just come over, give a clap, you know, like not Atangana. He comes over, claps when we lose, tugs the shirt, tugs the badge, and says sorry, like that. But I think sometimes the young lads are putting in so much effort, they get easily deflated. And like Semedo, I didn't see it. Apparently Semedo was crying when he walked off the pitch yesterday. There's still 10 games left. We're not relegated yet. By all means, when that final whistle goes and we are relegated, everyone will be crying in that ground. Not just players, but supporters, everyone. But for me, to see players crying with 10 games left and on the floor visibly deflated, it's like, guys, don't, you know, 10 games left.
Mm.
10 games left. That's my only criticism of the young lads. I'd be interested to know what everyone else thinks of that. Let us know at orientoutlook.com. Am I being harsh to the young lads? Am I being...
I think it's probably just a lack of experience of being in that situation and not knowing really what to do. And they're quite emotive at that age, that this is their big chance, really. You don't get to name one other club that's fielded as many youngsters, and particularly in a pressure cooker environment where every game matters.
Oh, look, mate, there's a few...
We're not in mid-table.
There's a few players who I'm sure are catching people's eyes already. If Miles Judd isn't being courted by a couple of League One clubs, and I'll eat my hat already. And Corona, after last week's hat-trick and being on the FIFA, whatever it is, hot list or whatever, will be picking up people looking at him. So these young players, you know, whether it's going to be Orient or another club in the near future,
the next
are going to do well for themselves. But that's the only thing I don't like with these youngsters. 10 games left, come on. If you lose, let's see, you know, sorry, come on, we'll do the next one.
Yeah, okay.
You know, we can do it. So loads of emails, loads of tweets after the match. You want to go through the first one?
Yeah, so first one in is from the unofficial podcast chauffeur, Cliff Weston. So Cliff messaged us. He said, well, yet another home defeat. Today, our inexperience showed against a solid footballing side in Grimsby, and we're now 6 points from safety with 10 games remaining. I feel we now have to accept that with the best hope and will in the world and with our inexperienced squad, I don't see any way back to saving our league status. Let me make it clear for one moment here. I'm not blaming the players or Danny Webb, as they've done us all proud in very difficult circumstances. We all know who to blame for where we are on and off the pitch. He goes on to say, we now have to look to the future. On the playing side of things, we have some very exciting young players and an ambitious young manager. There is a nucleus of an exciting team that possibly can achieve so much. But, of course, that will mean support from the ownership of the club. That's why we need the winding up order to be resolved in our favour. Then for Bichetti to sell the club and have a new owner installed as quickly as possible, who will install stability back into the club on and off the pitch. Without Bichetti as owner, this young side, and with everyone working together, including the fans, we can rebuild the club, putting it back to where it belongs, and that's in the league and challenging for honours. Yep. So some good points there, Cliff. Thanks, mate.
Yeah, thanks for your email, Cliff. We also had an email from Dave Hodgson, who said, I cannot recall the time in all the years following the O's that I have felt so frustrated, angry and sad as having to witness the young lads leaving the field after yesterday's match. After the takeover, you just could not imagine how the new regime could ruin the club in such spectacular fashion in such a short amount of time. With the second relegation and 3 seasons looking ever more likely, I look forward to our deluded owner being successful in selling to someone he sees as suitable to run a football club. Spot the ill-concealed irony here? The silence from the club over the current state of affairs is staggering, and I would like to thank you again on behalf of all diehard O's fans for being a reliable source of information during this extremely worrying period. Thank you, Dave. I didn't read the end of that podcast. Sorry, the end of that email. That was a nice
thing. Yeah, cheers. Thank you very much.
What I will say is, wouldn't it be typical Orient, though, to go and lose to Accrington on Tuesday to get everyone being like, oh, we're going
and
down.
And then go and beat
Doncaster. See it a mile off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. That would be amazing. At Nino Barone 27. Had enough of staying, we'll stay up. Of saying we'll stay up, we might just manage it, but we're absolutely dire and we're only going one way, and that's down.
Look, if we stay up this year, next season will be fine, I think. At Wadsey, he said, blimey, this is heartbreaking. Clapping off the devastated players with tears in my eyes. What is going to become of us?
At Pertron, only chance we've got is Hartlepool implode and we build momentum. Play 11 kids, can't be worse than the 3 senior players.
Yep. At Alan McLawan said, Newport have won as well. We just can't seem to carry our form onto the next game. Everything is going against us. So Newport sacked Wesley.
Yeah.
They were one down at half time and they scored a last minute goal and won the game 2-1. So down there, 6 points.
Luck?
They're 6 points behind us again. I think Newport are gone though. I think they're gone.
They probably are, but you know, you don't want to be 92nd out of 92nd, do you? At Highbury Stand, that was shocking, to be fair, but Massey and Kelly to come back. 6 points adrift, but you never know.
Great point though, actually, from Highbury Stand. Massey is back on Tuesday. And Kelly is back
Saturday.
For Doncaster Saturday. And Kelly had a massive impact when he came back.
Yes, before, he did.
Before he went over and pushed over that bloody ball boy.
Yeah.
Joe Jesson 16 says, Corona was completely wasted centrally. He was left there all game. Our right back successfully targeted by another team, getting boring.
Yeah. At Orient Electric, it's starting to get too upsetting to watch this week in, week out.
At Daniels 9119 says, the younger lads can hold their heads up, played well, but we just haven't got the luck on our side.
At Dear Stu, it's not just a case of being good enough, but thanks to a man that has ripped our team and club apart.
Yeah. At Sam Harborne 1 says, the youngsters try as normal, but we do need Paul McCallum back to put the ball in the net.
At Clayton Orient, why when we're losing does Danny Webb make no substitutions to try and change it? Are his hands also tied on what he can do?
Good point. At Tommy Atkinson 6, as it almost takes the shine off last week. We need now 5 wins as a minimum, and sadly I fear they will be out of reach.
At M0PHO, a good first half and then we tailed off. We lack experience. Can't fault the effort, but we did get caught out a few times. Talking to one of the photographers at half time, apparently Simon, the club photographer, hasn't been paid since October.
Unbelievable.
That is unbelievable.
Barry Mittelman says, we win at Newport was marked by the breakaway goals we scored. Our pace works well on the road and Grimsby defended deep, limiting our space to create. That's a very good point,
spot,
actually.
Good spot, Barry. Yeah. Good spot. At Simon Bedford, had a go first half, but once Grimsby woke up, it really was men against boys. No luck either, and the referee was shocking. That's a really good point.
Yeah.
He was probably one of the better referees that we've had.
I think he was one of the better ones. Still not great, but in comparison to what else we've seen. So, at 67, Sammy says, we kept fighting, kept their heads up. So good on them, but heartbreaking to see these lads come off so upset.
At Neil underscore Watson 37, got to feel for those young players out there today. This could kill careers, and it's all down to one man.
Yeah, at Pank P007 says, lots of possession, lots of effort, but no real penetration. Generally touched to see them at the full-time whistle. I mean, maybe I am being a bit of a Scrooge here. Everyone else seems to, you know, be loving the emotion that is shown. I just think it's sometimes a bit too much.
Okay. Len M4, I would have been angry at the performance, but after seeing their reaction at full-time, it changed my opinion. They clearly are trying, but the lack of experience is showing. I'm angry at the fact they've been thrown into this situation.
Yeah, great point. I think someone, I can't remember who it was, put up the back end of the programme for the first home game of the season, and like the squad listing was so different.
Yeah.
It was, and you're looking at it going, how on earth has this happened? Like Cox, Simpson, Sean Clahesi, like all these names, and you go, the turnover has been immense.
Yeah.
El Coado says, too much to ask kids to play consistently week in and week out at this stage of their development. The seniors should do better though.
Yeah, at Jack R. Rayner, can't fault the lad's effort, but if you don't test the keeper, you won't score. Let's hope heads don't drop onto the next game.
Yeah, CM Oriental says, I have to say how proud I was of the youngsters today. The future is so bright with them, and I'm so, so proud of them. And
good tweet.
Brilliant tweet, that one. I really like that one.
Only one team tweeted us, and it said, result was harsh. We lost our way in the second half. Kids put in a shift. Some of our movement was very good, but we lacked that cutting edge, which I think is
that's
a fair
good
comment.
Some great tweets this week. At D. David uses Danny, Omer, grown-ups, kids, Lindsay, The Office, Howard, Loft, everyone. Proud of you all. This club won't die. Hashtag the future. And that would have made the final word, but I'd already put it in.
The Authentic Gaz tweeted us, and he does get the final word this week. It says, there's some kids in that team with great futures ahead of them. I truly hope this experience doesn't break them. The fat lady is definitely warming up for a warble. Ain't she?
Yeah, so thank you for all the tweets. Apologies if you've not mentioned yours, but great week for tweets. So, prediction league update. No correct predictions. So, lots of people did predict 3-0, but to Orient. We didn't have a 3-0 for Grimsby. We had a lot of 3-1 for Grimsby.
I thought we would win. I had a real gut feeling that we'd win.
Mate, I have that every week. I'm learning to kind of just resist the urge. So that means the table is still as last week. So O's fan basing Leeds on 18 points. And Nino Brian 27s on second and 15 points. MP Allen 222s on third and 14 points. And Joe underscore Pavitt at Leighton Ori at Strop underscore O. And at Leon Oresti on 13 points will make it up the Champions League places.
Yeah, it's on our Facebook page if you want to see where you are in that league. Fancy football update, though. It's a short week this week. Elliot Hartfree-Pierce, though, still leads on 1,569 points. There's 15 points ahead of Barry Underwood, and you've moved up two places for getting to change your captain, and your vice-captain didn't play.
Rubbish week for me, but I've gone up two places, so still hopeful. Also, Saturday night, congratulations to Jay Simpson, who almost broke our iTunes account following his interview.
He did break it.
As he scored his first goal, I think in only his second match for Philadelphia Union, just 10 minutes into his home debut, scored a brave header, which trickled over the line, done his old eye celebration. So well done. Unfortunately, he went off injured after 28 minutes. So well done, Jay. Wish you very well. Good friend of the show. Lovely man.
And just to note, if anybody is interested, the Union drew 2-2 with Toronto, scoring a goal, I think, in the 90th minute or something.
Oh, was it 2-2 in the end?
It finished 2-2. Yeah. So Sunday, the 12th of March.
Today.
As it is, yeah. The ladies' team beat Fulham away 5-0 with 2 goals from Sophie Lamarchant, 2 for At Nastir and 1 for Ellie. So well done to the Orient ladies.
Yeah, well done, ladies. Loud and proud. So that brings us on to the positives and negatives of the week. So we've managed to balance it out. So we've got positives again. I'm going to clap the positives again. I like that last week. I'm going to do it again. So first positive is the fan unity over the week. All fans sticking together in these tough times. Also, Tuesday night, the return of the Mac, Gavin Massey.
Man like Gav.
And on Saturday, return of the ball boy pusher. Lucky to be alive, that ball boy. Liam Kelly returns next Saturday. So those are our three positives.
Yep. Negatives, heavy loss for us. Obviously, yeah. It's killed our goal difference, which we worked so hard to win again, to get back against Notts County. Another negative, obviously, that Newport won and Notts County won, so further sort of putting pressure on us. And, you know, it will stay in there until he's back in the team, as far as I'm concerned. And it's Alex Chizak not being even named on the bench. Don't know what's happened there. Danny says it's his decision. Jury's out for me. Let's not keep going on about it, but Alex Chizak will stay on the negative list for the fact that the situation, not for him personally.
So hero of the week, as we always do, we've taken a bit of a different stance on this one, and well done to you, Mr. Paul, for coming up with this one. So we're going to give hero of the week for the first time in our 2.5 year podcast history goes to
Loft.
Yes, well done.
So Loft. Well done to the boys and girls at Loft. Great organisational skills, really sort of really being that beacon to show people the way forward. So congratulations to Doug, the chair, Tom, Jonathan, Matt, Adam Michelson, Anna, Dave Knight, everybody that's involved with that. The collections, organising the collections. I think Joe, Sunshine Tours done, was did. Involved with that. Going into the technical, I think there was a bit of a misunderstanding at the technical.
But they accepted them in.
So Leighton Technical, well, thank you very much for your support. It is appreciated. And just everybody that carried a bucket, anybody that donated to in support of that. So thank you very much. And yeah, that's kind of it for this week, really. We're just going to do a quick roundup and then we're done. One of the shorter episodes that we've done in the last few weeks.
As it stands, so next week's fixtures, two big fixtures this week. We go to Accrington on Tuesday night in a big six-pointer. So Accrington beat Exeter 2-0 away on Saturday. Moved up to 18th, so they have 41 points. So that will not be an easy game. Then after that, we entertain Doncaster Rovers at home on Saturday, walking back Matthew Baldry and ex-Loney John Marquis, who only scored one goal for the O's, but has since been prolific at Doncaster Rovers and can't stop scoring.
It's amazing what happens when you play a striker up front, isn't it? Yeah. In the service.
So Doncaster, top of the league. I mean, that's going to be one where no one expects points from, which is why I think we'll end up ironically winning. So Doncaster beat Cheltenham 2-0 on Saturday. And, you know, personally, I'd like to see Matthew get a good reception back.
I'm sure he will.
I hope he does. When he was at the O's, he split fans. And obviously, shameless plug, you can find his interview with the Orient Outlook on
our back catalogue.
So get ready for his return and give yourselves a listen to that.
Yeah, also on Monday night, which is going to be the 13th
tomorrow
March. But if you're listening to this on Tuesday, it happened last night.
Yeah.
There is a Loft meeting, and that's going to be at Walthamstow Assembly Hall in the Town Hall on Forest Road. It's that massive building on Forest Road. You really can't miss it. The postcode for that is E174J for Juliet, F for Foxtrot. The meeting starts sharply at 7:30. I'm assuming that is going to be quite a big room, but still turn up early just to make sure you get in and get close enough to the action. You don't have to be a Loft member. This is for all Leighton Orient fans, not just Loft members. So you can just turn up. If you can't make the meeting, don't worry, because it's going to be live streamed by Elliot Byrne on Facebook, on the Loft Facebook page. Shona from The Guardian will be there live blogging, and you're going to be there live tweeting it.
I'll be there live tweeting last time. Yeah. So
okay.
Keep an eye on our Twitter account and on Monday, the 20th of March, it's off to the High Court we go, where Leighton Orient's future will be decided. So now, as it stands, nobody has any clue what's going to happen on that day. You know, first, if Will FB even turn up, will he pay the bill? And if he doesn't, can Loft successfully put the club into administration, as voted for at the last Loft AGM meeting? Will the club be liquidated?
Who knows?
I mean, it's, you know,
it's a huge week.
7 days away. It's a massive week.
It's a huge week.
So
that's two games, liquidation, winding up order. This is real serious stuff, guys. This isn't you know, oh, don't worry about it kind of stuff. This is genuinely serious that we might not even be able to fulfill. If we get liquidated, that's it. We're done. Good night. God bless. Close. Turn the lights off. People lose their jobs.
I mean, liquidation is the worst possible scenario, and we hope and pray it doesn't come to that. But you know,
the lack of communication from the management of this club, Vito, Alessandro, Bichetti, is an absolute disgrace. It's angering. It's absolutely angering. It's disgusting.
Well, before Paul goes on anymore, let's end this evening's podcast.
So thanks for joining us. Yeah, thanks for joining us for episode number 98. Another crazy week off the pitch for the O's. Francesco Bichetti is still nowhere to be seen in E10 amid reports that American company wants to buy the club. Report that it's not just the HMRC that the club owe money to. Loft have been doing some fantastic work as the regeneration fund goes from strength to strength, and there will be an update on the amount raised in Monday's meeting. On the pitch, we struggle as we couldn't follow up last week's amazing win at Newport as we slipped to a 3-0 defeat at home to Grimsby. If you're going to Accrington on Tuesday, have a very safe journey. If you're going to the Loft meeting or the Doncaster game, we will see you there. So please, let's be the 12th man, support the team, give the boys our full support, whatever happens.
So just to finish then, we'll be back with episode 99. So date for your diaries. We're back with episode 99 on Tuesday, the 21st of March. We're going to see what happens in court on Monday, the 20th of March. There's no point in doing the podcast next Sunday night if
something
events on the Monday transpire to work against us. So in theory, this could be the last ever Orient Outlook podcast where there is a Leighton Orient. So there will definitely be one more as a minimum, you know, but if, this is worst case scenario, and I'm sure this won't happen. But episode 99 is going to be huge. There'll be two matches to cover. We'll be covering the Loft meeting and the events from Monday, 20th of March. So set aside a long time from 10 PM on Tuesday, the
21st of March,
or take the morning off work on the Wednesday to catch up. It's going to be huge. Additionally, we've had a few tweets and DMs and emails about episode 100. That will be out on Monday, the 27th of March. And as it stands, we're not going to do anything big for episode 100. Doesn't feel like the right time to be doing it. So we are looking to do something big to celebrate.
Depending on what happens at the end of the season.
You know, if we get relegated, maybe not, or maybe we can do something when the club is sold as a massive celebration party, but we'll be looking to do something. So that's it, you know, have a great week everyone.
Do have a great week. We've chosen this particular song to play you out with this week. Unfortunately, it's not rocking all over the world, we've chosen this specific song from the late George Michael.
So we hope
you like it.
Yeah, so we look forward to hearing from you. And as always, keep calm and listen to the Orient Outlook podcast. Have a great week.
Have a great week. Stay safe.
Up the O's. Yes, I gotta have faith.